You know what? This right here, this is a combination of 45 years of experience, of wrestling experience.
We make one
Nobody
bit.
Can touch that.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to After the Bell. I am still Corey Graves. Clash at the Castle is 1 week from this Saturday. Our very special guests have a lot to say about that. I've got a lot to say about what went down this past weekend on SmackDown, on Raw in Toronto and in Montreal. And apparently in Canada, kidnapping is totally legal as long as you do it in front of 13,000 plus people. Of course, to help me navigate the choppy waters of the WWE universe, he is the R2-D2 to my C-3PO,
nice.
Vic Joseph. But Vic, I don't want to waste any time with you right now. We've got very, very important guests. This is a make-good episode of sorts. We had Bayley in her triumphant return here on the show a few weeks back, but technical difficulties succeeded. Technical difficulties won the day, so we promised we'd bring back Bayley, but she didn't come alone. As we've seen on Monday Night Raw, as we saw this past week on Friday Night SmackDown, Bayley doesn't roll anywhere solo these days. She is usually flanked by the genius of the sky, Io Sky, and Dakota Kai. Kai and Sky, so much fun to say. I can't wait to talk. Ladies, welcome to After the Bell.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Thank you. Good thing you didn't tongue tie that.
Yeah.
Name, huh?
Props. Props to you.
I know. It's amazing. I'm surprised I haven't botched it more frequently on the air, which I'm sure will happen at some juncture. But again, Bayley, again, we got to catch up with you a little bit a few weeks ago. The internet was not cooperating, so things were choppy. The world did not get to hear the full interview, unfortunately. So we're giving you three the platform. We talked about Clash at the Castle off the top. We are expecting in the area of 70,000 people.
Wow.
In Cardiff, Wales, a stadium that will surely be rocking as the three of you square off against Raw Women's Champion Bianca Belair, the Empress of Tomorrow Asuka, and Alexa Bliss. A few weeks out, before we get into the past, let's look into the future. What are you three most looking forward to about Clash at the Castle?
Whoa, the 70,000 people you just said. That's nuts. I'm excited to finally team all three of us together. I think that's kind of what personally I've been waiting for, and just the few things that we've been able to talk about and go through and things we want to try in the ring, I think that's going to be super exciting for us and for the fans, and just something different for them to see.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to be in front of like a UK crowd again and hopefully hear some really dope like chants, you know, how they go crazy and football.
Oh yeah, they better be singing. I'm hoping there are songs and chants.
They're so good at that stuff, like I hope so.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Dakota, I have to ask you, just off the top of my head, the three of you collectively shocked the WWE universe at SummerSlam. To the best of my knowledge, and I think accurately so, at least up until the hours leading up until Nashville in SummerSlam, you did not even work here. You were released from WWE and you appear in spectacular fashion. I want you to take a minute to sort of walk us through that journey of being dominant in NXT, being an NXT Women's Champion, having a great deal of success there, and then seemingly overnight that dream is dashed. Everything goes up in smoke. Talk me through those few months where you were away.
Gosh, like when it happened, I think it was a mixture of like, obviously there's shock involved there, but at the same time there sort of wasn't. And I don't know, you know, I just kind of have to prepare for that day one day. So like when it happened, I was sort of at peace with it. And then those months away, I took time, you know, I didn't take any outside bookings or anything like that because I really wanted to take time for myself and sort of reset and just like remind myself of the things that are important. And during that time, I was able to do that. So when that call came, like literally, what was it, 24 hours or something before SummerSlam? It was weird how the timing worked out like perfectly, you know, like I hadn't taken any bookings or signed anything in stone. So like when that happened, it was more like, oh my gosh, was this like meant to be? And then by the time SummerSlam sort of came, I was still in the stage of processing everything that was happening, because that was a very small window to sort of not only physically prepare, but mentally and emotionally as well. So, but like, it's a dream scenario to be alongside these two too. Like, you know, she's been talking about this for a long time, wanting to do something like this. So the fact that it happened and on the stage that it did, it was like just overwhelming and surreal for sure.
EO, right around this same time, you were out from NXT with an injury, and there was a lot of speculation, a lot of rumors that maybe EO was going to go back to Japan. Maybe EO wasn't coming back to NXT. So your appearance at SummerSlam was very, very shocking as well. Was there any chance that EO did not stay in WWE? Were you thinking about going back to Japan?
Well, you know, yeah, actually it might be happen too, because I've been here 4 years. I came here, United States, 2018, and then now 2022. Mm. I spent time, the wild pandemic in here. That was very tough for my life, because I came here by myself. I take care by myself, everything. Honestly, I don't have family in here. That makes me sometimes my mentality going down, and that time is so tough. And I try to think, should I stay here more or not? Also, I got injured and I took surgery. That time is thinking about my life again. So that's why, sometimes I thinking, oh, if I have family in here, or you know, if I have family, it will more makes my mentality, you know, stable. So
yes,
helped me a lot. So that's why, honestly, I try to think that a lot of times, especially right before SummerSlam. So I don't want to say that, but actually, rumors right.
Bailey helped convince you.
So to answer your question,
yeah.
We had a reeler back then.
Dakota, you had mentioned this has been a work in progress. You guys have discussed this for quite some time. Bailey, how did this all come to be? Obviously, Dakota was not under contract. EO was out with an injury. This was your brainchild. This was something I know that you fought for. You spoke about it last time you were on the show. You had a vision. How did you make this all a reality?
I mean, I think it was kind of like what they're both saying, like just everything with timing just worked out so well. And I obviously can't do this by myself. You have to run it by the right people, and things were changing in the company so fast. And while I was out with an injury as well, I wasn't sure who to talk to or who to make this happen, or even to get myself back on the show. It was just a very confusing time. And this idea and this vision that I've had is just something I believe in so much, but it has to be with the people that I envision it with. Like, it's not just, oh, I want a group of girls or I want a faction, whatever it is. It has to be the right girls for it to work or for the vision to, you know, come to life. So I think it was just, you know, just not giving up on it, because I didn't really get an answer for it to begin with before, you know, what happened with her. And that was like really heartbreaking for me, because I felt she was literally like the first one when I was trying to think of all this. She was the first one that I really thought would fit so well, because I just felt we had a really cool dynamic, and that our styles will work well together, characters will work well together. And when she was let go, I just kind of gave up on it. But it was, I don't know, something was eating at me. Like, I didn't want to come back alone. I didn't want to come back and just go into, fall into the same thing. I really do believe that there's some change that needs to happen in order for everybody to take the women's division to a different level. So just reaching out to, obviously, Hunter is a huge impact on all of us. And working with him in NXT for so many years, he helped me a lot just try to figure out that vision. And I don't know, it was just like, let me just give it one last try. Let me just try one last time and see what he says so that I can either move on from it or keep pushing for it and make tweaks if there needs to be. But I think everybody just kind of at once saw like, okay, maybe this can work, but it has to be with the right people. You can't just throw someone else in there. And she's a huge part of it. So it just, so lucky it worked out. And EO too, like, I'm just so lucky. Like you weren't, you know, it was just like, yeah. Don't go.
Yeah.
No. Really? Like, just wait. Yeah. I'm grateful that they were willing to come and join me.
It's part of that recipe of success. And the interesting part is, as you're talking, I'm looking at, you know, Dakota, because we have the way that we do these interviews, and I'm seeing her look up and she's shaking her head like, wow, I still can't believe this is real. Full disclosure, Dakota and I were with a group of our common friends 2 weeks before SummerSlam, and we're like, hey, how you doing? And you're like, yeah, it's still good. And you were so positive. And then all of a sudden we're watching SummerSlam. We're like, what the hell is this? Like, we're standing up like, we just did. Having those comments from, you know, Bailey on a personal level also help get you through that time of knowing like, hey, people still believe in you?
Oh, absolutely. And like, the support when it initially happened was so overwhelming. Like, it's funny because this one here sent me like on the day, literally an hour after I got the call, I get like a box of chocolates and this big peace lily and stuff at my door. It's from her. And she's like already West Coast. And I'm like, dude, like, I just tweeted something funny. Like, I'm not dead. Like, you don't have to like send them. But no, all the messages, even from like EO, from everyone that I got, was so overwhelming that I couldn't help but feel like okay about everything, even though it does sort of feel like a piece of your goals sort of gone. I mean, I didn't know that this would be even possible at the end of the day. So I really had to come to terms with the fact, like, you know what? You've done a lot. You've met so many amazing people through this industry, through this business. Like, you can't help but feel like, you know what? I've done a lot. And, you know, like you said, when we were talking, I did feel genuinely like okay with everything. You know, like, I felt like I came to peace with myself, and mentally and emotionally, I was in a good place. So
it's funny how it all comes together.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Timing is crazy. Yeah. To the day.
Yes.
Literally, like, other things going on to the day. Like, yes. Amazing.
Since we've seen you guys arrive at SummerSlam, you've all spoken a lot about control and change within the women's division. Bailey, you in particular lived through the first women's evolution in WWE and what a massive movement that was, and how it really knocked down doors and blazed a lot of trails and provided opportunities for a lot of women who had prior to that not necessarily had that option or that experience. Now the women's division as a whole has grown. It has evolved. It has changed. Now in 2022, having lived through the initial women's evolution, what do you guys look at and see as the future? What is your goal, and what sort of imprint are you trying to make on women's wrestling as a whole?
I just want to see it keep growing. You know, like, I think there's been time periods and matches that have taken it to the next level, and whether it's a little bit or whether it's a big change or opens one set of eyes or thousands of eyes, you know, I think it kind of got to a point, honestly, where it was just a little stagnant, or you're kind of seeing the same faces, or you're seeing the same style matches, you're seeing the same structure matches, or the same, like, okay, the girls are going to be in this slot and it's going to be this long. Like, I think it got a little stagnant. And for me, during injury, having to sit and watch what's happening, and not that it was bad, I'm so proud of everything that's happened, and like Liv Morgan winning the championship, things like that was exciting. It was just, I felt like there needed to be an outsider view of like some sort of change, where like they can't see what's going on because they're so close to what's going on, you know? So we've seen Bianca come up, we've seen Rhea Ripley come up, and they've came from NXT and they've changed the game. Like, they've done so much, but I think there's just a little bit missing of like, okay, we've seen them, but they were also like in the main events in NXT, like constantly or whatever, where like someone wouldn't think, oh, it's Dakota
Dakota Kai should be there too. Like, she's been in all this position. Like, where sometimes when you're in the top for so long in NXT, they just expect you to show up, you know? But when it doesn't happen, it's like, oh, you kind of like overlook, you kind of overlook Dakota. She should have been there a long time ago. Same with like Io. She was in that, she's been women's champion. She's been all over those, but then it's like, but she was also overlooked. So I think like, for me, I wanted to bring girls that you thought like, okay, maybe they're just going to stay in NXT. Maybe they're just going to stay at the same level. But like, there's certain people, there's certain things that I see that I like, that I'm like, she has something different about her that she can bring to the division that some people may not see. I don't know if I answered that correctly, because you know how I go. I just go on the same.
Just talking in circles.
Yeah. Basically, I think I see a lot in them that some might not see, that are just, there's like more that meets the eye. More than meets the eye.
More than meets the eye, like Transformers. Dakota, can you turn into a Volkswagen Beetle on demand? Is that a skill that you I know this is super uncomfortable because they're sitting beside you, but can you give us an example, Bailey, of something that you see in Dakota and Io that maybe the majority of the WWE universe hasn't learned yet?
Oh, that hasn't learned yet?
I'm not saying this. I'm not going to argue whether it's true or untrue. I'm just asking you for an example.
They're great drivers.
Oh, I see what's going on. You're just trying to get someone behind the wheel for the road loops on the weekend. That's the veteran coming out in Bailey here. Like, oh, okay.
Great at carrying my bag. They get ice for me after my matches.
I did actually.
You get ice, and then I got crap for it. No, I don't know. I just never have seen women who have done the things that they have done and will go to the extent that they will in matches, or in like moving all the way from Japan to be here, moving all the way from New Zealand to be here, and to make it a commitment and to make it like no plan B to go home. It's just like, I'm giving this everything. I have no family here. I'm giving this everything. So I know I can rely on people like that. I know that I can rely on someone who has nothing to freaking lose. It's like, okay, this is, I moved all the way over here to be the best. So those are the people I'm going to align myself with, not people who just fell into this job, or people who got this job off Instagram, you know, or people that just got really good at it because they're athletic. Like, I want people who have trained their ass off all over the world and learned to. So, yeah. You know what? This right here, this is a combination of 45 years of experience, of wrestling experience.
We make one.
Nobody can touch that. That's all I have to say.
Don't worry. Graves will point that out. I promise you guys on Raw.
Just
he will point that out.
This
I
is
promise.
The first time you've had a match on Raw, you're not a rookie. You've actually done some stuff. Yeah.
Exactly.
Novel concept. 45 years.
That's what WWE deserves, is 45 years right here.
We make one move.
Yeah.
It's so interesting to hear the 45 years comment. And Bailey, what you said before about being overlooked, Io being overlooked, Dakota being overlooked. Dakota, I'll start with you. Did you feel that way in NXT? Like, what else do you guys want me to do? Like, did that ever cross your mind?
I mean, absolutely, especially near the tail end of my NXT run, you know, like, and I understand how this business works. You know, I know that not everyone is given like a participation award. Like, I understand. And I also understand, you know, at the like the championship matches that I had, that, you know, people were like, oh, maybe it's like times I've been here for so long and then it not happening. Like, I understand how the business works. I'm not like, ah, should have got that. Like, it's all stories at the end of the day, and they all lead somewhere. They should all lead somewhere. But especially in that last year, I really, after I'd sort of done everything that the glass ceiling had allowed me to do, so to speak, I was more like, okay, so like, what else should I do? Like, I guess I can change my character and sort of, you know, do something along that line. And then it's sort of, that was creative and I liked that. I really enjoyed changing it up a little bit, but then it also sort of went down the same path. I'm like, okay, like, I've done that now. I've done another championship, like, had another championship story, and we held the tag team championships for less than 24 hours apiece. But, like, it's, I guess it just, it gets a little bit, it's hard to stay motivated. But, again, I know how the business is. So, yeah, like coming back to this is insane. It's like, it's a beautiful thing.
Like as amazing as NXT is, and they have, you know, their big takeover shows, you know, four times a year or whatever. But for people like them, the dream is WrestleMania. The dream is debuting on SummerSlam. Like, and we're going to be in 70,000 in front of 70,000 people in Cardiff. Mm-hmm. Like that's where talent like this belongs, you know? And so I just think like, for real, it's true though. You know, like I love NXT, you know, I will raise an NXT flag everywhere I go. But you, like she said, you know, the ceiling's only so high where like, you just have so much more to give, mm-hmm. but like,
bigness,
how can I do that? Yeah.
You want to make it to the show. You want to actually capture the pinnacle of the dream, not just part of it.
This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Dakota and EO, I want to ask you, this has been recently your first experience with the main roster, so to speak, and traveling and doing non-televised live events. I know you guys have a taste of it in NXT, but now you're traveling. Now you're making towns, so to speak. Particularly for I know, EO, you haven't spent a great deal of time here in America, 4 years. What has this experience been like traveling and being a full-time WWE superstar for the first time?
Yeah, my life is totally changed. You know, still NXT recently started again the live event around Florida. Mm. But actually, when I've been there before I got injured, still not live event. Mm. So that's why we only have once a week on the TV day.
Yes.
I had the match in NXT, so pretty much I have to stay in Orlando all of the day, mm-hmm. and everything changed. Now I have to fly other states and where I am, what day today, and driving. So now I'm crazy busy now, but nice and busy, exactly what I want to do now. So I'm so happy, but my body little sore.
It's a change. It's definitely different.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely, I need time to, you know, to get used to this life.
It's a great point brought up. Like, I was working one, you know, I did Orlando on Tuesdays, you know, but now, oh man, 4 days a week. Like, that's part of the dream too. Like, that's how you get to the show, like Graves, as you put it.
Bailey, what are some of the things that you've sort of had to impart or help the other two girls with in this journey? Obviously, it's a drastic change for both of them from where they were a few months back. You've been the veteran. You've experienced and lived this life. What are some of the things that, some of the advice that you've given Dakota and EO, and maybe something that you would give to an aspiring female superstar, whether they be in NXT or on the indies somewhere looking to make that next step? What are some things you've had to teach them as far as from your experience?
Well, I don't know if I have taught them anything because luckily, like they've had the experience on TV and like a little bit of, you know, Dakota's done dark matches and they've done big shows. So things like that, I haven't really had to, like our backstage segments, our promos or matches. Like, I don't feel like I had to help structure or tell them how to talk or anything like that. But I do think like I try to keep in mind like, you know, our days have been crazy. We're like all over the show. So I do try have to keep in mind, like, okay, don't freak out, because if I freak out, I don't want them to freak out. You know, like, you know, I need to make sure that I'm calm and don't let them think like, oh, this is normal. Like, yeah, we're in every segment. It's normal. Like, just relax. Okay. But I think maybe, hopefully, I don't know, this just the way this all came about, and maybe it can help inspire whoever feels like giving up. Like, we literally just had this conversation the other night. It was like, sometimes you just feel a little lost and a little like your confidence is gone no matter what you're doing. Like, we're doing this, but there's still a little piece of confidence missing because mm-hmm. like we haven't wrestled in so long. Like, I haven't wrestled in over a year and she was fired and she's just coming off injury. So like, there's a little bit of confidence lost there, mm-hmm. but like, I think we all collectively really believe in this. And the more we're on together, the more time we get to spend together. I think it's overcoming the unconfident side of us. Like, I don't know. I just think that if you really, really, really love something, if you really believe in yourself, like, it's going to find the way. Just don't let that like negativity take over. You have to just overcome everything.
She's selling herself short because like, we wouldn't be here. Wasn't for this one right here. And I think you're like the perfect person to have guide us. You might not think that you are, but we definitely look to, you know, like Pam as like a guiding sort of figure amongst all of this. Cause like, even though I've done dark matches, we've like done a few dark matches here and there and like had our little taste of what it's like. It's nothing compared to what it is right now. And then having someone like this who's been through it, like, it's the perfect person to sort of have, you know, have under her wing.
Thank you.
Bailey, you mentioned
they're lucky.
It's unreal.
It sounds like they realize what they're working with. So, you know, a little ego stroke here and there will keep everything happy. You know, you mentioned not being in the ring for over a year. You obviously were out with an injury. This past Monday, you made your singles return and you were out there without Dakota, without EO. It was Bailey rolling solo against Aaliyah. How did you feel? Walk me through that process of going from SummerSlam and these feel-good moments, and you three of you have been featured as a unit. You've been taking over Raw and SmackDown by storm. But now, let's take all the window dressings away. Now it is Bailey. It's time to get down to business for the first time in a long time. Do you have any nerves?
Yeah, I felt so weird, and I had to not really like tap into my emotions too much because it was I wrestled on the live events, and it's just not the same like the weekend before. But that was, you know, I try to just stay calm until I'm able to cry or laugh or scream about it, you know, once it's all done. But I honestly, like, since the last few weeks of us being together, I felt they helped me feel like pretty calm when things get stressful or I get overwhelmed, because I can kind of they even me out now. So going out there without them, I was like, guys, like, can you just make sure I'm okay? But I'm still like in shock that I did it, because it's been so long, and I never really like was able to imagine what my match back would be like, because everything's changing. Like, am I going to come back this way? Or am I going to come back that way? Who would it be against? So I don't know. I still don't know if I fully understand how I felt about it. I know it was a big night for Aaliyah too, being in her hometown, which I think was really special. So I think it was special for both of us, which made the match mean even more. I don't know. I still like haven't wrapped myself around it yet, because it's been so long and it kind of feels like it actually didn't happen. And I haven't watched any clips on it or anything. So I'm just,
it happened. I was there.
Are you sure?
I called it. Pretty sure we talked to each other at some point in the midst of it.
That, luckily, they must have like felt my nerves because it came out afterwards. Like, are you okay?
Dakota and EO, the two of you have advanced through the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship Tournament. You now find yourself in the finals against an opponents to be determined tonight as this drops on Friday Night SmackDown, the second chance fatal four-way. What does it mean to the two of you to be in the position that you're in, to sort of be prepared to resurrect these women's championships and sort of reshape that division in your own image?
Oh gosh, it's like...
Potentially. I'm not putting the cart before the horse. Obviously, you might not do it, but
yeah,
I'm an optimist here. I'm putting the, you know, best case scenario forward.
They've already, some of that.
They've already done it. I mean, I think they've already brought like fans interested in the tag. This whole tournament has, but I think they've already opened eyes to like the tag team division already. Just watching them work together has already done that.
Yeah, yeah, stroke my ego. Yeah.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. But even just being in this position of like resurrecting the tag team championships and being a part of this tournament and telling that story, like it's bringing eyes again back on the women's tag division, you know, which was lost for a little bit. But now it's like, no, this exists. And we have so many great, talented women that can be a part of this together. So it only elevates everyone when a tournament like this exists, when, you know, we've got like, matches happening, semifinals, whatever. It's just, it's such a great feeling. And to have like the ability to tell a story like with the time and the stories involved and all of that, and being paired with like literally one of the greatest wrestlers in the world is just there's a lot of responsibility there, but I think it's all leading to a good place for sure.
What about for you, EO?
Yeah, tournament is how is it? Everyone watching about who will win, yeah. And also many fans think about how works our team up.
The dynamic, yeah.
Yeah. So that's why if we get championship, it's easiest way to show them we have power.
Mm.
So that's why we have to win.
Yeah.
Just by winning the championships, you're showing everybody where the power lies. It's like such a simple explanation, but it works really, really well. I like that a lot.
I think Graves just wrote that down too to bring up on Raw. That's going to be a little one-liner Graves is going to throw in there for sure. Hey, EO, I want to ask you about someone who just showed up on NXT for the first time and is an absolute legend. Actually, Beth Phoenix at one point called this woman the fabric of women's wrestling. And we're talking about Mako Satomura. EO, what can you say about Mako that the audience here in America will finally realize soon enough?
Yeah, she is definitely special. The one of the best women wrestlers in Japan, even in the world, I think. And she has everything, pretty much everything. So she has power, she has technique.
Mm.
So she has nice background. She has career as well. And also, look at her eyes, very impressed, you know?
Yeah.
You know, when we met in the ring and her eyes makes me so something special.
Yeah.
And, ooh, that can be a goosebump.
Me too.
I know.
In Japan, so many girls think about it. So, you know, who has the experience against Satomura or not? It makes me so totally different level. So
yeah, like for your work term.
Yeah. Can't say that. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Okay,
yeah.
If I wrestle after Satomura, my wrestling career like changed or elevated.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Bailey, what about you and Dakota? I know you both have a very healthy respect for Satomura. She's one of the most widely respected competitors in all of women's wrestling anywhere on the globe.
When I first watched Gaia Girls, which is like that documentary where...
Oh my God. Well, let's talk about that for a second. Let's put that out into the psyche of the WWE universe who may not have seen this. I remember telling Stone Cold about this documentary because it was one of the most brutal things I've ever seen in my life. The drop kick.
Yes.
Ah. It makes my skin crawl.
Me too.
What is this?
Oh, just...
It's called Gaia Girls. It's a documentary from, what, the 90s?
Yeah, early 90s, I think. Where Satomura was like... And she just, like, drop kicks one of their girls training, like, over and over again. Face telling her to get up, and she has, like, a bloody nose. So, like, when I went to Japan and had to work Sendai Girls, which is her promotion, I was intimidated as heck to meet her because I was like, this is the freaking, this is who, like, this is she drop kicked this girl to death. And like, I'm about to like, she's like one of the nicest people. It's insane. I was like really thrown off by it because like I have all the respect in the world for her, whether or not I'm scared of her. But like, she was so sweet and had so much feedback to give that yeah, it threw me off for sure.
I've never been able to meet her or have any conversations with her. I've talked to her through Twitter and that's pretty much it. But I mean, obviously I know who she is and I know the level of experience, and like, she's intimidating just to watch in matches. Yeah, I've seen many of her matches on YouTube. And even like Sasha went there to train with her for a month or so, and she would send me videos of them training. And like, Satomura trains like literally 7 days a week. Like, she doesn't miss anything. And it's like weight training in the gym, in the ring, like cardio, lifting weights just over and over. And I was like, oh my God, I don't like, she's been wrestling for how long? And she's still putting her body through that every single day. But I mean, it pays off because she's wrestles the way she does and moves the way she does. And she's just, you know, I think we're super, super lucky to have her with the company, you know? So maybe we should bring her with us.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
There we go. I like it.
Tweet it out.
We're running a little low on time, but you just sparked another thought, another question in my mind. What are the odds that is there room for expansion? Is it going to be the three of you? Is it going to be the five of you? Are there going to be nine of you? Are going to be, ooh. I mean, what is the limit?
Just
going
to turn into the NWO? They're just going to keep adding people?
Why do you guys want a spot?
I mean, maybe. If you give me a t-shirt, I mean,
absolutely.
you guys are like, you know, we kind of open up a lot in this interview, so you're just going to have to wait and see. I mean, who knows? Anything's possible. If you look at us in this group, you know anything's possible.
That's true.
You'll get no argument. But again, Clash at the Castle, September 3rd, massive six-woman tag team matchup. The three of you against Bianca Belair, Asuka, Alexa Bliss. Potentially, two of the three of you could be WWE Women's Tag Team Champions when we arrive in Cardiff, Wales, which leaves the third one sans championship. What are the odds?
Maybe I'll have a championship.
And notice I'm not specifying. I'm being very vague. There's room for shifting and changing. However, face value, Bailey, what are the odds you take a step toward becoming a singles champion again in WWE?
I mean, if I feel like it, yeah, but right now I think I just...
It's like, wait, what day is it? It's Wednesday? Nah, yeah, not today.
Dip my toes wherever I feel like it. If I have a title, then it kind of holds me down and keeps me in one spot. But if I don't have a title, then I'm able to go wherever I want, just like the tag team champion. So I think I'd rather keep my options open for a while.
Ooh, undecided.
That's why you're a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Thank you, Vic. Hey, Vic, did you see that folder of Sean right there?
Damn straight I did.
Okay, are you staring at that, or are you even looking at us?
No, I wonder why there's an extra glare on it. You know, there's like an extra glow coming from my screen when I look at it, too. I don't know if that's by design or by default. Thanks for pointing that out. Appreciate it.
Bailey, Dakota, EO, thank you guys for joining After the Bell. Before I let the three of you go, I'm going to start with EO, go right down the line. What are you most excited about for the future of WWE in the women's division?
So, well, yeah, good question.
And it could be an opponent. It could be a moment. What are you just personally excited about now that you've all started this new chapter of your careers?
So, of course, my goal is single champion.
But yes, all together. We'll all have single champions. Yeah. I'll win the 24/7 title. SmackDown, you'll have Raw.
Yeah.
There you go. You can do it. Singles championship. I like that. That's where you shine the brightest in NXT.
Yeah.
I could see EO as a big star on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, that is my biggest dream. That's why I came to United States. Mm-hmm. You know, I was one of the best women's wrestlers in Japan, but I really want to become one of the best women's wrestlers in the world.
Yeah.
So I want to show
you're
them.
Already off.
I love it.
Solid.
I want to show them that all over the world.
I think for me, like, obviously, championship, single, tag, whatever, like, that's always a dream, right? A WrestleMania moment, that is always going to be, like, the goal. But personally, I think, like, I love the fact that the women's division in its entirety is getting, like, a spotlight back on it. And I think that, you know, with the time that we have to tell the stories, like matches, promos, everything like that, and then the new matchups we have with, like, you know, people that have been there longer or like new talent coming in, the opportunities for different matchups, I think all of this together will just elevate everyone up. Because I think, like, back in NXT, like 2018 era, we really prided the women's division back then being like one of the best in the world. So I think now it's like that. I love that feeling of, that's very, not prideful, but I have a lot of, like, in my heart, I just love the idea of like having one of the best divisions in the world. And being a part of that is so special to me. So that is the goal.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I just want to continue to see the division change and get different additions like them. But there's so many others that, you know, that can just bring so much more to the division. And I have accomplished a lot in the past, and but there's still a lot I want to do, but different things. It's not like I want to win this title or win the Royal Rumble, like, not things like that. It's just, you know, I've always wanted to have a faction, and I just want to make sure I hit every point that you can do in wrestling and just be able to, like, go through the roller coaster of it all and be able to say, I've done that. I've hosted WrestleMania. I have been in this match. I've done this match. I've also been with a group of girls. I've also done this. So I just want to be able to have all of that and in whole, just watch the, and be a part of, you know, the big changes in the division, just to be memories for people.
Bucket list and stuff.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well, the three of you are certainly on your way to doing all those things. Thank you, Io Sky, Dakota Kai, Bailey, for hanging out with us for a little bit. We're looking forward to Clash at the Castle September 3rd, streaming live, WWE on Peacock. Huge six-woman tag team match and so much other goodness coming your way. Make sure you're following us at After the Bell WWE on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find me at WWE Graves. You can find him at Vic Joseph WWE. I wouldn't recommend doing that. Listen for free on Spotify, which I do recommend. Just search After the Bell, hit the follow button so that you never miss an episode. And we'll be back next week with more wisdom, more vitriol, potentially brand new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, and more WWE After the Bell.